My guest today is Annie Bougie. Annie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for being on my show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me, what do you do for a living?
I am a senior software developer at Concurrency Inc. in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Excellent. And you're also a speaker.
Yes.
At code camps like the Chicago Code Camp,
mm-hmm.
which is where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great code camp, by the way.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm on the board.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
So I have to say it's good.
How's it going? We're at lunchtime now. We're like, was it 12:30 in the afternoon, I think?
Well, there was a little bit of a glitch this morning, but we're back on track and things are going great.
Yeah.
The food was all,
it was a
miracle.
The website went down for an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I see people walking around, a couple hundred people here, I think, and they're having a good time. So congratulations.
Thanks.
And you also give a talk here.
I'm giving two talks.
Whoa. What are they?
The first one is, where should you store your data in Azure? What are your database options? And the second one is regional failover and disaster recovery in Azure, how you can automate some of that.
We should dive deeper into one of those topics on this show right now, and I'm going to let you pick which one.
The data.
Data, let's
talk
about
data. That is very interesting.
Where should I store my data, Annie?
Well, that depends. It depends.
Are you a consultant? That's like the standard consulting answer, the SCA.
It depends. Yeah, there's, you know, many ways that you can store your data in Azure and, you know, other tools that are available. You know, there's the SQL and the NoSQL. NoSQL covers lots of different options. I kind of covered the four basic types of NoSQL.
First of all, what's the difference between NoSQL and SQL? It seems like it's you're just... NoSQL is such a weird term. It's just defined
it
by what it's not.
It kind of is. I know. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So what's your definition of somebody says, what's NoSQL?
It's really hard to define, but one of the things that characterizes NoSQL is that there is no set schema.
Hmm.
Like in a relational database, when you create your table, you set up your columns and your types and everything. In a NoSQL database, you don't specify the schema, and you can add columns and values willy-nilly.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a wild west.
As long as your code knows what to do with it, it makes sense.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's not just NoSQL. There's different kind of flavors of NoSQL, right?
Right.
This is what you were starting to talk about.
Right. They fall into four major categories. You have key value stores, which is kind of like a glorified hash map And then you have document databases, mm-hmm. which is if your data isn't quite so flat, you know, that would fit into, you know, key value property pairs, then you would have like a JSON document. So if it's hierarchical and very complex, then you can use a document store, which would be DocumentDB in Azure.
Okay.
I think Azure also supports MongoDB.
Yep.
Yep. And then you would have what's called a column family. That is for really large amounts of data where you can store records really, really fast. Think of like a voting app mm-hmm. where all of a sudden thousands upon thousands of people are going to hit your site and all use it all at once and want to save data.
Okay.
That would be an HBase,
okay.
which is the one that I talked about.
Right.
And then a graph database is something different. It's usually not your primary storage of record, but it is the entities and their relationships to one another. So think of social networking where you have people who follow somebody else or they like somebody else's post, you know, or they're friends with somebody or they're, you know. So you can have inbound and outbound relationships and those relationships can have properties and they are first class members of the database.
Okay. And then we also, of course, have relational database or SQL databases.
Right.
Which in Azure, the default one would be SQL Server.
Yep. I didn't spend a lot of time talking about that because that's kind of like the starting point of most developers and they want to know.
Most people already know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good definition of those. What's the criteria? If I've got some application that needs to save some data, how do I decide which one of those to choose?
Well, if it's fairly flat data and you know how you want to retrieve it in terms of what the keys are, and it's along predictable lines, Azure Table Storage is great.
Okay.
It saves data really quickly, and you can retrieve data really quickly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So flat data, is that something maybe like it looks like an Excel spreadsheet or looks like a single table in SQL Server, something like that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, except that you can add you know, values willy-nilly.
Oh, okay. So it's sort of a jagged Excel spreadsheet in that case.
Right. And you can put queries across, you know, some of the properties that are not a part of the key, but they're going to be a little bit slower.
Okay.
But then I also talked about ways that you can combine that. So like with Redis Cache, you could have your indexing, which is extremely fast, over your Azure table storage and combine those two together to get the performance that you want with being able to search the way that you want.
Oh, really? So when you say indexing in Redis Cache, do you mean you're storing something? Redis Cache is basically an in-memory cache store.
Yeah, I probably didn't use that term correctly, but I don't mean setting up an actual index.
Okay.
I mean going into the table storage, let's say that you want to search by telephone number, which is not a part of your key for your address storage. You could put all of your telephone numbers with the Azure table storage key in Redis, and then search on that and pull that, and then you'd have that key very quickly.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so you can,
that's kind
you
of the
can,
way indexes work, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's Redis like an extra isn't table really an that, index, that has those lookups to the...
Yeah, so you can combine them, you know, to get the best performance that you can. So, you know, don't just think, I'm going to pick this one or that one. You know, think about how can I combine these in a way that solves my problem.
Do you ever have... Like some of these databases are optimized for inserts. You mentioned HBase, which you can write data really, really fast into. But it might be a little slower to query that data, especially if you're not looking up on the primary key.
Yes,
Do you ever like store something in a really fast database like that and then later move it somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. However, with HBase, it's part of the Hadoop ecosystem.
Right.
And then you have Hive, which is really good at pulling that data out. So you may use Hive then with your HBase.
Give me some examples of when you would use some of these databases.
Well, you would use Azure SQL when you need strong transactional support and your data is well-defined, so you know the strong schema is a benefit. If that is too constraining, then you can use DocumentDB, which will still store all your hierarchical data.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the querying capability that SQL Server has, but you can add Azure Search to be able to do faster querying.
Okay, so, and that is an indexing service that
Points
to parts of your document.
Mm-hmm. You would use Azure Table Storage when you have fairly flat data and you know what the partition and the row key are going to be so that you can pull that data out really quickly. So it's really, really fast and can store an immense amount of data that can be partitioned across many servers. So you have very, very quick data access.
It sounds like table storage has the same advantages that HBase has. What distinguishes those two?
Well, HBase is the column family store, and Azure Table is the key value. Okay. So it doesn't have quite the capabilities of more complex data.
Okay, which one doesn't?
The Azure Table Storage doesn't.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
So HBase, you have something more complex.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've worked with Table Storage before, and essentially it's just a primary key and then a bunch of values, and those values have to be primitive data types, strings.
It can be a binary.
Numbers, Booleans. Oh, they do? I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. So, I don't use it for hierarchical data.
No,
like
if I had, for example, a
customer with all of his orders, that might be more appropriate either for a relational database or for DocumentDB.
Yes, absolutely. Another thing that you can do with Azure Table Storage is the records don't have to be of the same type at all, even if they're in the same table.
That's an advantage?
Yeah, so you could have customer profile and then, you know, some other data that is not even related by customer, but, you know, not profile data.
One of the things that I've noticed is that the less the database does for you, the more code you have to write. So we've sort of got spoiled by things like SQL Server that enforces the names of the columns and the types of columns and it keeps you from deleting a parent record and leaving an orphan child behind, things like that. That may still be important if you're not using a relational database, but that just means your data access tier or your middle tier has to write those rules yourself.
Yes, that's absolutely true, because just because you don't have schema doesn't mean you don't have structure.
Right.
So if you want to get your data back out, you have to know that that field name is first name and not F name, you know, or some
right,
other.
Right, and that happens all the time. You have multiple developers or even the same developer months later, they misspell the name either just by a typo or because they're abbreviating.
Right, so. And if that's in the key, that's kind of basically really hard to find.
Right. I like this topic here. This is almost every application I write has some data behind it. And I, just because I came from relational world in the past, I've always thought SQL Server. I'm actually an old Fox Pro guy.
Right.
Fox Pro's a lot like SQL Server.
The choice isn't which database, it's like which relational database.
That was, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And I didn't even think about, I got to store some data, persistent SQL Server's right there, I'll use it. But just recently I started to ask myself, is this the best choice? And I'm trying to go through some of the same thought process that you're teaching people in your class. So I like this a lot. Are you giving this talk again?
I don't have anything scheduled, but I would like to.
You would like to? Oh, okay. Well, I'll show you my list of where I've submitted.
All right.
And maybe some of those are still open.
I will take a look at that. Thanks.
All right. And do you have an online presence?
I do. My Twitter handle is BougieFever. And I have a blog. It's BougieFever.com.
Excellent.
And I'm on GitHub, BougieFever.
Excellent. Annie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Remember, kids, technology is your friend.